Good morning. I'm a little tired out today, so. But I don't know, but thank you everyone who came out yesterday from the church. The church really showed up, and we say showed up and showed out, but you know, it was an amazing time. We filled the house, God's house, and there's going to be, We literally filled the house, that's right. And there'll be more events and more of that to come, so thank you all for your faithfulness, and we love you guys. Amen? Let us pray. Father God, we thank you, Lord, for our church and for every soul gathered here today and every day that we're here, Lord. And we thank you, Father God, for every opportunity that you give us to serve as you did yesterday. Lord, we thank you for the freedom that we have in this country as we celebrate our independence and that we have the freedom to study, share, and witness the gospel of Jesus Christ. As we pray for each other and open our hearts and minds to receive your word today without persecution, whether we're a Jew or a Gentile, it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 All right. There's my sermon title, God's Stamp of Approval. Amen. And we're going to talk about that, God's Stamp of Approval, which is the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's said that a prominent rabbi in the day of Pentecost, when asked why God created so many Gentiles, that he replied, so there might be enough fuel for the fires of hell. Right. There was a little bit of a racial issue there. And they also said that if a Jew married a Gentile, that the Jewish family had a funeral for them and considered them dead because they had married a Gentile. Amen? So, and the Gentiles, the feeling of the Gentiles felt feeling was mutual. Amen. So it was a reciprocal thing. They really hated each other. And but like the song says, then Christ came, right, and changed everything. Amen. Then Christ came and changed everything. So an angel had spoken to both Cornelius and to Peter, right? We know that. And Peter and his witnesses were going to make their way to the Gentiles' home, right? The angel told them to go with them to Cornelius's home and to enter it because God said to, right? To enter it because God said to. And the message of that sheet coming down, remember, with all the animals, the clean and the unclean, and it was now becoming clear to Peter what that was about. Amen. And witnessing was about to get real. Amen. And by that I mean real inclusive, okay? Because it was going to go from just the Jewish community to the whole world, amen, to everyone, to the Gentiles. But other believers thought throughout Judea, they were going to have a hard time accepting this new command from God, okay? They were going to have a hard time doing that, and that is until Peter, an apostle, right? He was an apostle, he was well-respected, until he would tell them, like Paul Harvey used to say, the rest of the story, amen? Once they heard the rest of the story and knew who it was from, they were going to respect what he was saying. Charles Spurgeon said that God's mercy is so great that you may sooner drain the sea of its water or deprive the sun of its light or make space too narrow than diminish the great mercy of God. Amen? That covers it right there, huh? God's mercy was about to be shown to every man, to every Jew and every Gentile. And because of the cross of salvation, they would all be able to receive that promise. Amen? Praise God. There would no longer be rules over relationships or laws over love. Amen? It was going to be free for everyone. And the Holy Spirit, like I said, was going to be God's stamp of approval. Right? That was going to show that it was God who deemed all this to happen. And at the end of chapter 10, we see that the Holy Spirit would come upon them. Amen? And so our first verse today says that the apostles and the believers throughout Judea had heard that the Gentiles had also received the Holy Spirit. It's the Word of God. So when Peter went up to Jerusalem, it says, the circumcised believers criticized him. And they said, you went into the house of uncircumcised men and ate with them. Like, what's wrong with you, right? verse 1 says that the apostles and the believers heard about what happened, right? There was no news. There was no Facebook. There was no email. Amen? But they heard about it. They heard about it because this was changing everything. This was a big deal, right? And the rumor mill, I'm sure, got started real quick. And they found out and they heard about it. So, verse 2 says that they were circumcised believers, right? Circumcised believers. These were the Christians of the day that followed all the ceremonial laws, right? And they took them serious. They took them serious. They were upset with an apostle. They were pretty serious about this. Amen? And so they took them serious. Now, they no longer followed the ceremonial laws of the temple, right? Because Christ had came. Amen? Christ had changed that. But just like Peter before he saw this vision, they were keeping kosher, right? They were keeping kosher. They were following many Jewish rituals. Amen? Following many rituals. And it was going to take another angel, or at least an apostle, to get them to see the new light of the gospel message. And that's what he was doing. Amen? So, verse 3 says, the real reason for criticizing Peter was that he had made himself unclean. Right? This was the reason that they were so upset right there at the moment, was that he had made himself unclean by going into this house of a Gentile and eating with them. He probably broke like 10 of their rules, right? Just walking in this house. Amen? Too many rules. But this was an apostle, okay? This was an apostle, and they looked up to him. And it offended them to no end when they heard what he had done. They were upset, and they wanted an explanation. And he's going to give them one, okay? The reaction of these upset Jews showed how significant the change was that took place. Changed everything. The change told everyone that the Gentiles no longer had to be under the law of Moses first, right? They could come to Christ, amen? And they could repent, they could believe just as they were and come to Jesus directly, right? Jesus had gone back and they could come to him directly. But to the Jewish Christians, this said that they had to receive their Gentile brothers and sisters as full converts. That's what made it so crazy for them, that they had to receive that. They were no less Christians then than we are today. Right? Christ had changed everything. These Gentiles were no longer going to be second-class Christians. They were going to be equal without having to follow any rituals or any man-made rules. All they had to do was repent, amen, and receive the Holy Spirit, just like any of us, amen? It's all they had to do, and believe in Jesus. And so these Jewish Christians were upset, and they would let Peter know, you can't be breaking all these rules. We have all these rules that we have to follow. What do you have to say for yourself, right? We can see by their reactions that it was very smart that Peter had taken some witnesses with him, amen? He took 6 witnesses with him, and they were character witnesses, if you will, right? And because he was going to have a lot of splaining to do, right? Right? Right. Just age myself with that one too. So Peter's going to now begin to explain his actions. Not that he had to, amen? He didn't have to, but, you know, this was an apostle, right? He didn't have to explain himself to anybody, but you know, Peter realized that God had a message, okay? God had a message, and it wasn't only for him. This message was going to be for all of the believers, right? For all of the Christians. And he was going to very carefully and entirely give them the message because he wanted them to understand. He wanted them to understand how he understood it when he finally understood those animals coming down on the sheet. Amen? He wanted them to get it as well. It was going to be worth his time and his effort to explain it completely, because this was going to be the gospel from here on out. Amen? This was going to be the Great Commission. Peter knew what he was doing, and this would actually be the third time, okay? This is the third time. It sounds a little repetitive when we were reading it up here, right? This is going to be the third time that they told this story in Acts, okay? So God is obvious, so it's very obviously a very important message that God wants us to hear. When God repeats something three times in the scriptures, you know it's important, right? Pay attention, right? Don't forget. He knows we can be hard-headed, right? So he starts in verse 4. He starts giving his explanation. He says, starting from the beginning, Peter told the whole story. He said, I was in the city of Joppa. It's Joppa, by the way, but it's okay. You like Joppa better? Whatever. I was in the city of Joppa praying and in a trance. I saw a vision. I saw something like a large sheet being let down from heaven by its four corners, and it came down to where I was. I looked into it, and I saw four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, reptiles, and birds. Then I heard a voice telling me, get up, Peter, kill and eat. I replied, surely not, Lord. Nothing impure or unclean has ever entered my mouth. And the voice spoke from heaven a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. This happened three times, and then it was all pulled up to heaven again. Right then, three men who had been sent to me from Caesarea stopped at the house where I was staying, and the Spirit told me to have no hesitation about going with them. These six brothers, the witnesses, also went with me, and when we entered the man's house, and he told us how he had seen an angel appear in his house and say, send to Joppa for Simon, who is called Peter. He will bring you a message through which you and all your household will be saved. And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit came on them, and he had come on us as he had come on us at the beginning, Pentecost. Amen? The same exact way. So once again, Peter delivers this message, but this time he's delivering it to his own disciples in Judea. Amen? He's delivering to his own people, and he's getting to the main point. First, he tells them that the sheet came down from heaven and how it had all these clean and unclean animals in it. But the main point of the view was verse 9. Okay? Verse 9 was the main point of the view, and it says, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Don't call anything impure. It wasn't just talking about food. Amen? Anything impure that God has made clean. And amen. And remember, at first, Peter saw all the animals. He thought God was talking about food. He was excited that he was going to be able to eat lobster and bacon and pork chops and all that stuff, right? Pulled pork, Kahlua pork, right? But by the third time he got the message, he figured it out. By the third time he got the message, he knew God was talking about people. That was his message. And that was the message he was going to deliver. And he would say to Cornelius and his people in verse 28 that God had showed him that vision. God had showed it to him, and it represented people, not food. It represented people, sort of a visual parable, right? Parable. And that it represented was kosher and unkosher people, right? Kosher and unkosher people. God was receiving everyone. He was ready to receive everyone, it wasn't just talking about animals. And that the cross of Christ was for both Jew and Gentile. That's the main thing, and that's our message today for us. Amen. Here's a picture, one of the paintings they have of when he was speaking to them and the Holy Spirit coming down. Amen. So to reaffirm the entire message, verse 15 would say that when he was speaking, here it is. The Holy Spirit came down and fell upon the Gentiles, right? Fell upon the Gentiles just as it had fell upon them at Pentecost. And this showed that it was God's stamp of approval, okay? God's stamp of approval towards the Gentiles. And this would represent all people for all time, each and every one of us, right? How many times has the Holy Spirit come upon us in this house? Amen? And so salvation through Jesus Christ was going to be for everyone, for all of mankind, not just for the Jews. And we've been talking about that. We've been harping on that. And the point being made to these Jews was that they were complaining about was that if God can accept these Gentiles, then shouldn't you, right? That's what he's trying to tell them, right? If God can accept them, we all need to accept them, right? This was to be the model for racial equality in the world for all of us. This was the beginning of racial equality for sure. And but not only true followers of Christ were going to need this message. Amen? Everybody was going to heed this message and hear this message. Even though today there is still racial inequality in the church, but God's word, the same word that Peter received from an angel of God, has never changed, right? God's word never changes. The Bible never changes. You might get something more out of it every time you read it, but the Bible never changes. God's word stands firm and never changes. And it never will. It never will. We're all created equal. We're all God's creation. And we all have to repent and turn to Christ. Amen? And the question is, are we going to live in God's will? Are we going to live in God's will? And were they going to live in God's will, right? They had to make a choice too. We all got to make a choice. And the answer should always be yes, right? Yes. And now Peter's going to conclude his message and finish his apologetic argument in the remaining verses 16 through 18. He says, "Then I remembered what the Lord had said. He said, 'John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' So if God gave that same gift he gave to us who believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, if he gave it to them, who was I to think that I could stand in God's way?" When they heard this, they had no further objections, and they praised God, saying, "So then, even to Gentiles, God has granted repentance that leads to life." Amen? So they got it. They got the message. Amen? And in verse 16, Peter says the most important part of the message. And it was going back to every action that he had taken thus far, right? He said, "I remembered what the Lord had said." That's the most important part, right? What the Lord had said. The reason that was important is because this was such a radical change, it was going to have to be confirmed by God's word. The Lord said, right? Confirmed by God's word. God's stamp of approval. These Jews had lived their whole life thinking that if someone wanted to be accepted by God, they had to follow every rule, right? Every diet. And at one point, they even had to make all these sacrifices. Amen? They had to make all these sacrifices. And so this was going to shake the foundation of everything that they believed. Amen? This was going to shake the foundation of everything that they believed. And because of that, in order for them to believe, it was going to have to be backed up by Scripture. God's word was going to have to convince them. Amen? Not even Peter could just come along and say, "Okay, now we're going to change everything." Right? It had to be God's word. It had to be God's word that convinced them that Christ had changed everything. "Now we're going to change everything," he said. And it would come back to was that it was God's word. God had instructed and prompted the radical change. All Peter had said was done, and done was important. But to them, all these changes were foolish if it wasn't backed up by God's word. Amen? It's the same for us, right? We're not just going to listen to someone come in and change all the rules if we don't know that it goes in line with God's word in this church. Amen? And that's in the Constitution, amen, of this church. Hey, Theo. So John chapter 1:8, which said, "John baptized with water, but you will be baptized with the Holy Spirit." This was the word of God. Amen. This was Jesus' words. This was the word of God. And he would give that same gift of the Holy Spirit to the Gentiles. Right? That was the amazing thing. They couldn't believe that he had given it to the Gentiles, but God, right? But God. And so they were all going to listen. They were all going to believe what Peter had to say. This was all just a reminder for us as well. Amen? It's a reminder for us of racial equality in the church. Amen? The salvation's for everyone, Jew and Gentile, each and every one of us. Amen? It's a reminder for all of us that if we're living in the truth, right, or if we're living in God's word, then our lives are going to be much better. And a lot of us know that. Amen. That's why we're here. Much more satisfying and definitely more joyful. Because the only way we're going to find true joy is through Jesus Christ. And so many different people in your life, whether it's family, work, school, or politics, maybe even at church, are going to try to lead you astray. They're going to try to lead you away from God's Word. Amen? But the way to be sure that you're making the right decisions for your life is to test them to God's Word. Amen? If you're not sure, open up the Bible, test it to God's Word. Google it if you want to. I don't care. But might be a little easier. But test it to God's Word. Amen? Test it to God's Word. And we have to know that His Word, we have to know His Word and everything in it in order for us to test it. So the more we study, the more we know. Amen? The more we study, the more we know. And now they had the Word of God, the Word of the Lord given to them in two ways. Peter had preached to them, right? Peter preached to them first off. And second, they had the Old Testament scriptures that spoke about the Gentiles coming to the Lord, right? Through the Messiah. Amen? Then Christ came. I should have named my sermon, Then Christ Came. And here's one of the, next time. Here's one of the verses from the Old Testament that from the prophets that they should have told them, right? Isaiah 11:10, it says, "The root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations, and in him the Gentiles will have hope." Speaking of Jesus Christ, amen? Then the Gentiles will have hope. There's so many verses like this in the Old Testament, so many prophecies that talk about that. God had always intended to reach the Gentiles, amen? Always, through the gospel. And so in verse 17, it says that if God and His Word gave the same spirit of salvation to the Jew and the Gentile, then who was Peter, right? Or anyone else, for that matter, to stand in the way of God, right? God was going to do what God wanted to do. He always does. Peter was saying, let us realize through our prayers, meditation, and His Word what God is doing, and let's follow His lead. We're going to follow God. We're going to do what God's doing. Amen? Let us be led by the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, not the laws of men. It's the same thing today. Amen? There's many religions or many different religions that they follow the laws of men rather than the laws of God. Amen? The Bible never changes. God's Word never changes. And the same holds true today. We should be led by the Holy Spirit in everything we do, because the receiving and the prompting of the Spirit is God's stamp of approval upon everything that we do and everything we say. Amen? Amen. Everything we do, and spiritually, evangelistically, that's why we were all here yesterday, serving God and serving the homeless and serving the community, right? As a family of God and serving, because the Holy Spirit led us here to do that, right? With most of the food and all the artists and the gifts donated as an alms to those in need physically and spiritually. Amen? We did it all for free. We didn't pay anybody yesterday. Nobody charged anything. Everything was done through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit drew us all here, whether we were cleaning up, bringing food, serving food, giving clothes, or just praying for somebody. Amen? We were all led here by the Holy Spirit. That's why the church was full. Amen? That's why the house was full. That's why the parking lot was full, because the Holy Spirit led us here. Praise God for that. It takes the Holy Spirit to move and shake in order for a free event like that to come together. It has to, right? It has to. And the Lord provides. In the church, we are led by the Holy Spirit day by day and in our lives. And that makes all things possible. The Holy Spirit makes all things possible. Everyone who gets involved in these type of events, outreaches, should be led by the Holy Spirit, not by money, not by fame or recognition, but by the love of Christ through the Holy Spirit towards others. And I let all the leaders know yesterday, and everyone that was, you know, doing worship. I said, before we even started everything, we prayed, and I told them all, I said, look, this is all about Jesus Christ and about any ministries that can help the homeless and anybody into recovery that's in addictions. That's what this is about. It's not about promoting ourselves or making money or anything like that. This is all about helping people and giving glory to God. I let them know that up front, and it was a beautiful event. Amen? We were all on the same page. Amen? So, they were letting Jesus set the agenda, and so should we in everything we do and everything we accomplish. Let the Lord set your agenda. Amen. Proverbs 16:9 says, a man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Right? A man's heart plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. Peter was explaining everything that had occurred, and he was confirming that it was God's word that led him to this place in his life. And they would all see that there was going to be a change of heart. Amen? God had led them there. And then it says, verse 18, that they had heard this and had no further objections. The Jewish believers were stunned, but they realized that if God was right, that they had been wrong all along, right? If God's right, then they had been wrong all along. And so it says that they would praise God, saying, "So then, even to the Gentiles, God has granted repentance of life," right? Repentance that leads to life. They understood that God was doing something they never expected. They understood that. But who were they to question God? Who were we to question God, right? Who were we to question God? They also had God's word to confirm this amazing shift of grace towards the Gentiles. You see, they left their hearts open just enough. Amen? They left their hearts open just enough to be guided and corrected by God. And that's what we have to do too. We have to leave our hearts open because the flesh will drag us down. Amen? We got to leave our hearts open to receive it. They left their hearts open just enough. They humbled themselves before the Lord, and in turn, they became the hands and feet of Christ. That's the goal, right? To be the hands and feet of Christ. And that's exactly what we're called to do in the world. We're called to be fair and impartial to everyone who wants to come to Christ. We love all people to Christ. Whether they're homeless, in jail, ex-convicts, addicts, black, white, brown, yellow, green, we don't care. Amen? We say, come as you are, but don't leave as you came. Right? We welcome everybody through those doors. And we're called to love all people to Christ. And Peter was going to kick off that great commission spoken by Jesus that would eventually reach the world. Right? But are we going to receive it? Are we going to receive it in our lives? Are we going to accept God's stamp of approval on our lives? Right? And once we do, are we going to witness to the lost about that same hope that we have? Amen? Because that's what we're called to do, the Great Commission. Praise God. Amen. Let us pray. Father, we thank you, Lord. We thank you for this reminder that you give us, Lord, that you told us three times, Father God, that everyone is equal in your kingdom, that the gospel is available to all who turn and repent and give their lives to you. Father, strengthen us, grant us wisdom to go out there and preach your gospel, Lord, to bring your promise and your joy to those who are lost, those who are addicted, those who are homeless, those who are struggling, and those who just don't know. Father God, may you strengthen us to do that each and every day in our homes, in our lives, in our jobs, everywhere we go. May we speak your word. Father, we praise you and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.